Yes, Lord. Lord, we receive your word right now. In the deepest parts of who we are, in Jesus' name, Lord, we receive it. Let's pause right there just a second. I want to get the fullness of that. Yeah, we're going to get that one too. Feeling like the Lord says, a lot stirring in the house today. Without pride or arrogance, there's a reason why you all are here today. There's giants of the city in the house, giants of the faith in the house. Not to our credit, but to what the Lord's doing, assembling leaders in this house. For Worship City Alliance, we are a worship city, and we are aligned. There's a blessing that comes with the unity of the Lord. And the Lord said, because of that, I'm going to pour out a rain like you've never seen before. Like you've never seen before. Heed my words. Listen carefully to my prophets in these days. Listen carefully. But keep your hearts tender towards me. And don't forget the things you've been singing even this morning about my goodness. Don't let the weight of the world and the trials of life pull you away from the deepest intimacy that we can have. Because I am doing new things in your days like have never been written about before, says the Lord. So, Lord, we welcome what you're bringing. Yes, Lord, signs, wonders, and miracles, Lord, we welcome it. But more than that, Lord, a deeper place where we're walking with you in a way like we've never walked. So that people go, whoa, what is that? That your shadow just hit me and I got healed. Or you walked in the room and you touched me with your coat and something came out of you. Lord, that's what we want. To the glory of your name and your Son, by the power of your Holy Spirit. Let it be so. Yeah, brother.
I hear the Spirit of the Lord saying this morning that I'm bringing you out from under your juniper trees. And I'm beginning to connect you with the Jehus in your region. For I'm healing the breach between my church and the breach that has been there with the world. For I'm calling you out from behind your walls, and I'm sending you, says the Lord, into the places that you have called dark. I have called them light, for I have said in my heart that I am sending you there. For I see it as it is before it is, says the Lord. So come out from under your juniper tree. I have Jehus waiting on you. I have those that I'm calling you to begin to activate, to set in place so that I may cause the headwaters of awakening to begin to flow through this city, says the Lord. For it is time, it is the season that I am bringing my men and my women, my apostolic people into, says the Lord. And I'm pulling back the veil. And you're going to begin to see as you've not seen before. Do not be afraid or taken back at the things that I'm beginning to show you and to unveil to you in this new season. For I have brought you into a place that you have hungered for me and I have fed you. And you've thirsted for me and I've given you drink. And I've strengthened you, says the Lord, beyond even that which you have known. So as I pull back this veil, walk in, for I want to show you things that are to come. I want to show you things, says the Lord, that have been hidden until this time. I am marrying in a greater depth. I am revealing in a greater way, says the Lord, the unseen and the seen. For I am bringing my people, my fivefold, into a place that you will become very familiar, even comfortable, walking in the unseen. For I'm opening portals in this region and I am taking back portals in this region, says the Lord, that have been held by the enemy, for this is the time of my outpouring. Prepare yourself, ready yourself. Shake the juniper tree off of you and begin to look for those that I have called to align with you, to run with you in realms that you have been told were even taboo, says the Lord. For I'm breaking all of your rules and I am crushing all of your walls that have been built up around the things that you have called sacred. And I am bringing you into my chamber, says the Lord. And I am revealing my heart. And I am impregnating you with a movement in this city that will touch this nation that you have dreamed of. This is your time, Nashville. This is your season to move from the unseen into the seen. I'm bringing you into that place. of releasing my glory as never before. Prepare your hearts, prepare your eyes, and prepare your ears for what I am bringing you into. For this is the season your hands will handle things that you have not handled yet, says the Lord.
Did you come and hear the word of the Lord today? Just for a moment, I'm so grateful for the well here today. I had to bring a gift to you, my worship team. And there's some great worship teams, but the other night, some of us were watching the football game, and a young man named DeMar took a pretty unusual hit, and they thought everything was fine until he fell down, had to be resuscitated. And for the first time that I know of in NFL history, they postponed, or they actually canceled the game. But what was amazing with the people that were on their knees praying, crying out for his life. He did die on the field, and they brought him back. Right now he's on about 50% oxygen where it was 100. Now Chris Valentin confirmed this to me today, but I saw that as a divine interruption. You know, it takes a lot to get people's attention, doesn't it? Even the news media, sobered by this, and I want to just share this before we go on because of the importance of this hour. A holy disruption where even the news media had to stop and pray. It happened at 8:55 p.m. And about 40 minutes later, the game was canceled. First time. Now, if that is a type and a shadow of what God is about to do here, get ready for a season of holy disruptions. And they're holy, and they'll demand holiness from you and complete obedience, as we saw our servant come in today. The enemy tried very hard to stop this today. The fiery one said, I'm not going to let this happen. But God had another plan, because this man picked up his sword, and even though wounded, I'm coming. Now there's something in that for us all to see, not to give glory to a man, but what it's going to take to get to this next place that we want to go. Can't be through the word of the prophet. Now, you know, God is realigning this city of apostles and prophets so we can come into a place of unity in our hearts with His purposes for our land, for our city. There's not accidental. So, Father, we say yes to your plan. We say yes this morning at the first WCA for this year. We're going to find out how it is to come in perfectly to the purposes of God's heart for Nashville, Middle Tennessee, and our region. You know, they always say, first California, then the nation. I believe God's going to change that. First Nashville, first Tennessee. And then, you wait and see, because God's about to unleash, whether it be the new movie that's coming out that has been reviewed, powerful movie on the Jesus movement that I've lived to see happen again. Here I am, 76, still believing it's going to happen. It is. Right, Don? You were a part of it in Calvary Chapel. So our hair might be a little whiter, but we are going to see. I have hair, James. I just flaunt it sometimes. But at any rate, we're going to see it happen. And I can throw it back out again, too. That's right. Might be time. Grow it back out. I've been thinking about it.
So, Father, thank you for this time. I'm asking for your grace right now to turn the corner. As we turn the corner, in a civil year, In the Hebrew calendar, there are two new years. But we are in a civil calendar right now, and we do as well acknowledge it. And so we turn a corner right now in the name of the Lord of hosts. And I declare we aren't only now preparing for the harvest, we cross the threshold into the greatest harvest that church history has ever known. We are no longer standing on one side declaring, it's coming, it's coming, it's coming. I am now declaring, along with others, the greatest harvest has begun in Jesus' name. And now I present this time to you. I'm asking, for your grace to be manifest in my weakness. Your word says that your grace is perfected in weakness. So I just say, I qualify. So show off. For your name's sake. For your glory. Jesus, we love you. Amen. You can be seated if you want. I've used this scripture multiple times. There are people here that know me quite well. You have been with me, who have walked with me. You have stood with me. You have and we continue. And there are those of you that are new, and I just want to say thank you. But we're not done. And we continue on because we are entering into the labors of those who have gone before us. And we are entering into the labors that we have wept for, sowed into, and we are now entering into the labors of years. And we are reaping because we are not growing weary in well-doing. I am making a declaration, by the way. And I'm making a declaration over myself. I am not growing weary in well-doing in Jesus' name. So I'm giving you a verse that I have used often. But it's a good verse, so it's worked before and it works today. Matthew chapter 13, verse 52. Then Jesus said to them, Therefore every scribe instructed concerning the kingdom of heaven is like a householder, this is New King James, who brings out of his treasure things new and old. Does anyone have the Passion Translation? Yeah. Could you come here and read it there for me? Thank you.
Yeah. Said he responded, every scholar of the scriptures who is instructed in the ways of heaven's kingdom realm is like a wealthy homeowner with his house filled with treasures both new and old.
Thank you. And it is. I just love that. Obviously, Brian Simmons, the lead scholar. Stacy Campbell and I prophesied years ago that he would be used to bring forth a millennial translation And thus, here we have the Passion Translation. And it is an emotive translation. Well, that's a whole other story, isn't it? But there are some distinctions that is in this verse. And then I'm going to give you a potpourri of different words. A scribe, a scholar, a teacher, an instructor. That's a very important word. That's someone who has studied to show themselves approved, a workman unto God. That's not just the everyday person. A scribe. It's someone who doesn't just teach. Let's do it what it says. They instruct in a realm. What realm? I love that word realm. Yeah. About the kingdom of heaven. Yeah. And about, obviously, the kingdom of heaven coming on earth. Too many people are referencing about their own kingdom. But a good scholar, a great teacher, a wonderful instructor, someone you want to follow, is someone who's going to school you in the kingdom realms. The kingdom realm. Not only, excuse me, don't be offended, the church realm, but the kingdom realm. A great scholar, someone who's going to mark your life, someone who will probably be in the great hall of faith, will be someone who's going to school you, mark you, disciple you in the kingdom realm. And we all believe in the ecclesia. We all believe in the church and the importance of it. In the kingdom of heaven, and he is a householder, New King James and some of these other translations. But the one translation will say, the way I memorize this verse is, the head of a household. Very important. The head of a sphere, you could say. You're not just a armchair coach. You know how to rule. You know how to reign in a sphere. You're the head of a household. You're the head, not the tail. Yeah. Obviously, this is the James Gall Amplified Version. But here the part that I'm really going for, is because I'm trying to share on treasures new and old, is that these scholars, they're not supposed to just be armchair theologians. You know, the theologians aren't really even in the Bible. They're not. Philosophers are not even really in the Bible. I mean, they're really not in the hall of faith. They'll breed more doubt than they'll breed faith. Oh, that's not what I'm after. Jesus, have mercy, okay? We don't need just people only. Now, I love great teaching. Okay, so I love great teaching. I love, anyway, okay, that's a whole other subject, okay, right? But we don't need people who only, the word is only, sit in a chair and have no practicum. There's a great difference. And they've really not walked through a valley. They don't know how to get from A to Z. They can break it down hermeneutically. Moving on. But these head of a household, these kingdom warriors, have a treasure chest. Now, I actually believe that is supposed to be every single one of us. We each have a treasure chest. It's our heart. It's our life. I have become convinced I have a treasure chest. The problem is, a lot of us read the treasure chest of others. And we can recite the great treasure chest of Charles Finney. And we can recite the great treasure chest of William and Catherine Booth. Or Amy Simple McPherson. And we can even pray the right revival prayers. Send revival. But where's the practicum? Because here's the point here. And then, oh, Jesus have mercy. I want to like let's go do the Celtic part right now, okay? I spent a whole year of that. All I read was The Christian Mystic and Desert Fathers. So I have a little bit of understanding on some of that dimension. Now, but the head of a household, a kingdom warrior, has a treasure chest. But we often read this one way, but we state it another. And we state it and bring forth treasures old and new. And that is the way I have almost always heard people say this verse. Bring forth treasures old and new. And that's the way a lot of us live this verse. But what it says is that we each are to be kingdom people, and we each have a treasure chest. And we are to lay up these treasures and we're to bring them out. And we're to bring out these treasures new. First new and then old. I've got so many grand, great stories and some of you know them. I've got so many great ones that I could live in the smoke in the next 10 years of telling the stories of 30 years and get away with it, almost, of my old treasures. And that would, S-U-C-K-S. Oh. Because it's not right. And it's what we do. It's what we do. And it's what I could do. And it's what I don't want to do. It's what I don't want to do. And it's what I'm on the verge that I could do. Of just weariness or whatever. Like some of you. But I want to say, no, I want new treasures. I want to bring forth new treasures, new treasures, new treasures, new treasures. The new. Not only tell Paul Kane stories that are old. Not only be I was with Bob Jones. I was his right-hand sidekick. I can tell the stories firsthand, not second and third. I know them firsthand. I can correct a lot of people's stories because they tell them wrong. They do. Some of them, their exaggerations are really awesome. They're fun. But whatever the case, and I applaud, okay? Because I exaggerated sometimes too. Okay, being real now. But we want to bring forth new treasures. How many of you want new treasures? I don't want just... I was in the Jesus People movement too. I was in the Charismatic movement too. I was in the Third Wave movement too. I was in the Kansas City Prophets too. I was in the Apostolic Reformation with C. Peter Wagner too. And that's already old treasures. I want new treasures. I was in the global prayer movement. I was with Cindy Jacobs helping open up under commissioning with C. Peter Wagner the 40-70 prayer window in Moscow, in Volgograd, in St. Petersburg, in all of these different cities. I was there too. I was in here and there, and I was in Buenos Aires, Argentina, with Ed Silvosa and Omar Cabrera, and wherever in Ed Silvosa and all these places, I was there too, and that's old. I have had angelic visitations 9 straight weeks from midnight to 5 a.m., and that's an old treasure, and it's awesome! I have so many treasures, quite frankly, that are like visions beyond the veil. And it's an old treasure, and it's glorious, and it's awesome, and it's amazing. I have so many treasures that if I had still had hair, he would be standing straight up right now. But I want new. I want new. I want new. I have treasures of Samuel Howes laying hands upon me and speaking over me the mantle of Reese Howes upon my life. Who else has that? I don't know. But I do. But that's an old treasure. I'm not satisfied. I am not satisfied with old treasures. I am not. I prophesied before I ever spoke in tongues in 1972 because I was not indoctrinated that that was wrong. I read Derek Prince's little pamphlet on "You Shall Expel Demons," and the next day I went and did it. That's a great old treasure. But how about today? How about today? How about today? Whoa. Chubbo. I was in Toronto 9 weeks before it broke out. And it all broke out when I was there. Huh.
And I didn't get the credit. And that was a big test. And I had to learn to be okay with that. I prophesied over Steve Hill. And Mickey Robinson was there. A few weeks before Brownsville. That's an old treasure now. How about today? How about today? What about today? What's God saying today? Well, this week I'm releasing a word called It's Time, It's the Time of the Teeter-Totter. Why? Because it was last week a recurring vision I kept seeing over and over and over and over and over. The teeter-totter. Because it's the times that we're in. Where it can flip and it can go one way or the other. It's the time of the teeter-totter. So it goes out in podcast and the article and everything, which I have to write up tonight, goes out tomorrow, that in the time of the teeter-totter, wherever those notes are, maybe I don't, there they are, in this time of the teeter-totter, it's the time where crisis can become flipped into an invitation into intervention. It's a time when darkness can become flipped into the greater glory realm than what we have ever known. It is a time when we are already in it, flipping into, like it is 1948 to 1952 all over again, with the old time tent crusades all over again, and we're flipping back in time. Oh, but it's going into, what is it? Are we going back in time, or are we flipping into back into the future? Oh, it's in back up. It's peculiar, is it not? It's the time of the teeter-totter, because we are going into back into the future. But in that, in old, it's like old scenes made new. There is a fresh hunger of rawness. It is a fresh hunger for absolute rawness. I had dreams. I have not had the opportunity to even write them up at all, of five nights in a row about meth houses in rural America and about the healing of America has to be about the healing of the backbone of America, of rural America, and the Holy Spirit speaks to me eventually and says, and what are you going to do about it? And the necessity, and then I started then seeing at all that he asking me, he said, what are you going to do about it? Then I started then praying into it, and I started seeing praise and worship on public squares in small towns, in small where they won't care. The public officials won't care about the laws and the rules. And I kept seeing then that praise and worship in the courthouse squares, and then the healing teams will come. I just tell you, and then there will be the meth houses will get invaded by healing teams, and if it's going to be deliverance teams, and then I see restoration happening in rural America, and there's just going to be a deliverance movement happen amongst hungry people who are a little bit uneducated in Jesus' name. I saw five nights in a row, God have mercy, Kate. But it's the time of the teeter-totter. Which way is it going to go? Is it going to be where we get so freaking upset because there is this thing called inflation, and it's where there's, you know, supply lines broken and this and that or whatever? Or is it going to be that we flip it into these and we finally tap into creative inventions, and in that hour where there is appears to be lack, it becomes the flip of a teeter-totter into then, oh, a higher realm of reaching into God, and there becomes those inventions that God has wanted to release, but He doesn't want to give them to the world. He is saving them for kingdom people, head of households, to bring forth treasures, treasures, treasures. I've had so many dreams about so many inventions. And I just speak forth this realm. And I just say, so which is it going to be? Are we going to fret and fear? Or are we going to tip the scale? There's just many different ways to say, am I a little intense right now? Yeah. So I can dial it down. God doesn't have any sweaty palms. And in the time of the teeter-totter, He wants us, is Marion, instead of living under, to flip it and come up higher. Because there's solutions up here that He's just waiting for the kingdom warriors to receive. Right? Right, Grant? Because He's going to grant them to you. One of the words that I released recently that came from dreams is that Jesus is flipping the tables over in the house. But part of what it is He's releasing in this period Holy Spirit entrepreneurs. It's time of the release of the Holy Spirit entrepreneurs. I have seen an exchange taking place where many people will literally be changing garments, changing careers. Study about even Joseph's life. Study about when people change garments, what happens. There's an exchange taking place. Fresh and unusual anointing upon entrepreneurs and multitaskers. I had I started having in recent time what I call triad dreams, where I have three dreams in one night. I mean, this has been happening like week after week after week recently. Three dreams in one night, and I can't teach you about dream interpretation, but they will not look, the symbols will not be the same at all, but they are actually totally connected. And the third dream is usually the one that's got the greatest message in it. But I'll end up having triad dreams in one night, and they're connected. And this, in my weakness, this seer realm has never left me, but it's being activated in this realm. And one of them then, that was been also the whispers of God. And one morning, the whispers of God came to me, and he started saying, talking to me about the release of the Holy Spirit entrepreneurs. But he said this to me. He said, there's a correction coming on the teaching of the wealth transfer. This is not pickpocketing like a Robin Hood kind of thing. But it is not as much the transfer of wealth, it is the creation of wealth. And he said, for too long we've been teaching about the great transfer as like as though we're going to take Bill Gates' money away from him. No, I said, leave Bill Gates alone. It's creation of wealth.
Yes, sir.
So right now, I want somebody, and see, and in this, it's faith. There's arena of faith. And so listen to this. He said, there's an exchange taking place, a change of garments. I don't care how young you are or how old you are. There is an exchange taking place where you could wear Joseph's coat of many colors and you can do more than one thing, Pastor Andre. You can have Joseph's coat of many colors upon your life so that then you will, excuse me, never have to be dependent upon a pastor's salary. And have Joseph's coat of many colors upon you, Lee Whitman, and you will have an entrepreneur dimension upon your life. And you can do more than one thing. The Holy Spirit gave me the word mompreneurs. Mothers at home. Even single moms. And there is new inventions right on the horizon that is deals a lot with AI, whatever that all is, and it's going to be downloads, and it's going to help and create. Now, it could be used for corruption, and it could be used for amazing increase, and we need to. Anyway, mompreneurs. And I just speak that forth. And because you see, it's a speech-activated kingdom. And now listen to this word. This was, I had three words spoken to me. One was about this creation of wealth. He said this, correction coming on the teaching of wealth transfer. This is not about pickpocketing of a Robin Hood anointing, but rather it is creation of wealth. Watch for an exchange taking place, the changing of garments for many. One, two, corrective inventions. One tweak away from an old concept coming into a new reality. Some people have given up on what their dream is. But the Holy Spirit said to me, this is an odd phrase, corrective inventions. They are one tweak away. One tweak away from an old concept coming into a new reality. And then he gave me the word, mompreneurs. So, if that's you, receive it. Now, so the release of Holy Spirit entrepreneurs. Now, this morning, as I was, praying about this, this doesn't happen often for me, but I went into a room in the Holy Spirit, and it was called the Lost and Found Room. In the Father's house, there's many dwelling places, okay? I went into a Lost and Found Room, and I'm just going to declare right now, the Lost and Found Department Room is open. And it has many applications. I saw it. I see it right now. I remember many years ago. I'm going to give you an example. One of the first times I ever met, or there was the second time I saw, prayed for Steve Schultz. It was at Grand Rapids, Michigan, and I started declaring over him that there was a lost inheritance that was actually geographical. It was land. It was dealt with, I believe it was like your grandmother or something like that. He didn't have a clue what I was talking about. I didn't either. But it was a lost inheritance. And I started speaking that forth. Well, it was literally true. It came to pass, and that land that that they didn't even know that was theirs and was lost in their inheritance, his daughter lives on that property today in Oregon. And today, I went into the lost and found room in heaven. And I just declare that there's someone in specific, the Lord didn't show me who, so it could be more than one, that I just say there is an inheritance that is lost and it is going to be found for you in Jesus' name. It has been lost and it will be found in the name of Jesus. And it does deal with a generational lost inheritance. There is something that's been for, this might be the same thing, and it might be interrelated with for another one. But it's been held up in a court issue for a long time, and you like you gave up on it. But the Holy Spirit says it's not been given up in the courts of heaven, and there is another, like an appellate court in heaven, and there is another hearing that is happening, and I just want you to know this, that there is an appeal that is being heard in heaven, and your cause is not lost, because it's in the lost and found department, and your cause, it's the cause. The cause is not lost. The cause is not lost. And there's an appellate court that's being heard in heaven. And the gauntlet is coming down. And the Lord, and and I've never seen this, I've never said this before in my life, but there's an appellate court that's being held. And the Lord says, the cause is not lost, but it will come for gain in Jesus' name. And in this lost and found department, there is a lost. It seems like you have a son that is lost to drugs. But he's not lost. There is a laborer that is being sent to him. It is an angelic host. And he shall be like raised from the dead in the name of Jesus. Watch the next 50 days. And there will be a miracle that shall be happening. Because there is something that is happening as this lost and found room is being opened. There's treasures in this lost and found department. There's someone who lost a building. Well, let that building go. Just let it go. Just let it go. Let it go. I don't even know the movie Frozen, okay? My grandkids do, but just let it go. And as you let it go, it'll succeed. And guess what? There's going to be three buildings that are going to be multiplied back to you in Jesus' name. And there is a Holy Spirit, you know, the time it's 11:14, have mercy, God Almighty. There's apostolic women that are on the rise in 2023 and beyond. And of course, I've prophesied that for 25 years. That I just declare right now in the name of Jesus. So I'm just going to do some bullet prophesying. I just say, apostolic women on the rise. I just declare tent, unpolished was the word the Lord gave me, unpolished tent gatherings like in 1948 to 1952. It's back to the future. I declare deliverance made necessary. I declare trauma at the roots. Healing of trauma. Right now, there is, just like in the lost and found room, I saw this morning another level of healing of trauma at the roots. And it goes beyond systematic mapping. It deals with a gift of discerning of spirits so that there is healing of trauma at the roots. Treasures new and old. And this is a part of that new healing deliverance movement. I was given a... I've been having dreams where I relive old prophetic words that I gave 30 years ago, 25 years ago, 20 years ago, and I relive the words. One of the words was, and I will start to close, one of the words was, I'm in Lethbridge, Alberta, Canada, filming with Patricia King when she's first getting started in media and on the Miracle Channel. And she still lived in Canada. And I started prophesying something that was like, I didn't know what I was talking about. And I started prophesying about the e-church is coming. The e-church, that was the word. And it will, and this is around 30 years ago. I don't know the exact date. I could get hold of Patricia. I'm sure she has archives to find it. But it's around 30 years ago that this happened. I started prophesying to her about the e-church is going to happen. And it will occur in a time of necessity and relevancy. It will not be a replacement to the local church as we know it. But it will be as though the Father is adding on rooms to his house. It is not a replacement to the local church as we know it, but it will be as though the Father is adding rooms to his house, the e-church. And it will come about in a time of necessity and relevancy. Well, Patricia is one of the fastest movers and doers of anybody I know and I walk with. So she started quickly a web church and I became an advisor to it. But the word was e-church, which meant electronic church. So I had a dream in recent weeks where in slow motion I relive that very word. That word was accurate at that time. But I just relived this dream. I mean, I just relived this prophecy. That's an old word. That's an old treasure. But the Lord brought that out of my treasure chest, which is his treasure chest. And he says to me, this is now the time for that word. And I go, what? Because this is now the time of necessity. This is now the time of relevancy. I want to add rooms to my house. It's not a replacement. And it's not a competition. It's that there needs to be more rooms to my house. Then I had a startling occurrence where the Holy Spirit speaks to me about Nashville in a dream. And he says, did you know? You know, sometimes God just talks to you. And when he just talks to you, sometimes it's disturbing. And he said something of this nature. He said, did you know there are more believers outside the church? Now, again, you got to define terminologies. But this is Holy Spirit talking, so I don't want to over-define him. But here's what I had in a dream. And you see, and I just had this dream revisited from Lethbridge, Alberta, Canada, with Patricia King. And then I have this about Nashville, which I think could be true about any city, but it was Nashville. He said, did you know there's more believers in Nashville outside the church than there are believers in the church? Now, let that sink in. And he started talking to me. Now, that was right on the heels of me having revisited the dream of 28 years ago, of the e-church. And then he says, did you know that in Nashville, there's more believers outside the church? That meant the organized Sunday morning church. Then there are believers in the church. And I pondered on that and I went, huh. Yeah. And then he says this to me. And what are you going to do about it? Treasures new and old. A lot of things I get, obviously, in interpreting these things, they're for you. They're for a sphere you represent. And they also then are dependent upon your gift mix and the platform that you have. Did you know that in Nashville, there's more believers that don't connect with the Sunday morning typical, church? But he said they're believers. There's more believers outside the church than there are believers in the church. But he said that Nashville's, he said, full of believers. But in this, the feel was these believers are isolated. They're hurting. They're hungry. And we're not supposed to forget them. And you know what? Sometimes I feel like I'm one of them. I mean, do you ever go through a season and you don't know why you're going through that season, and then you learn the lesson of what you're... Nashville's got more believers outside the church than there are believers in the church. Then here's now, but I now want you to hear this word. This is such an edifying word. And what are you going to do about it? One of the things that I decided was then, so I have taken the training with Ed Salvosa on the Ecclesia and the accelerator training, because I'm just trying to like get renewed in some different mindsets. I'm not anti anything, folks, but I'm trying to look at the harvest. And I'm trying to go, we need some additional rooms on the house. And when the Jesus People movement hit, most of the regular church was non-accepting. And, okay. And when there was the ark, here's my closing thought. And when there was the ark, there wasn't only clean animals that were brought into the ark. There were unclean animals. Folks, that hit me like a ton of bricks sitting here today. There were unclean animals that were brought into the ark. And what are we going to do about it? And this is James W. Gall, and I endorse this message.
Wow. So I was sitting back there and feeling this, and this is, you know, this is where I pastor with Mark. In this house, and the kingdom entrepreneur, it's one of the pastor, yeah, one of the places. The kingdom entrepreneur thing is me. It's my life, and I've got three companies. I don't know why I'm shaking. I feel like the Lord is just here. I've got three companies that are, you know, very successful, and I'm starting two more this year.
You're going to have seven.
And one of them, okay. One of them the Lord spoke to me about in the summer, that he's given me a gift of creating wealth, and I'm supposed to share that gift, and so we're starting a company to help believers create wealth and through real estate investment and all that sort of thing. But I say all that to say, you're in my house, he gave the word, I think there's something here for that, there's some heat on that. And I'd like to pray for those.
I got something for you.
All right.
Because when he was fishing around with that, I saw you playing nine ball on a pool table. You know what nine ball is?
Yeah. Okay. Oh, yeah, nine ball.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
It's in a triangular rack. And your opponent, well, you, the person that knocks the one in, it's their color. And it's either stripes or solids. You broke the rack. And it was the solid balls, because there's no mixture in you. And funny that he would say that, because it's going to really hit hard when you knock in the seven ball. It's the color. It's kind of almost maroon in the on the pool table. So there are going to be young people that God's preparing already, but they need a spiritual father. Though you're younger than me and Jim, you're already a father in creativity. So as you release this, the mouth of two or three witnesses, two witnesses are saying, what you're feeling and what you're saying is more true than you know. But
Joseph's coat is on the ground.
But the way you win, after you knock all of your balls in succession according to numbers, is to knock in the eight ball, which is holding people back. Holding people that have been crying out to the Lord. They've had words of the Lord, but they've been held back. And there's anointing that, wait a minute, that Greg has about some of this stuff. He might have something later on. And Don's got something. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, I'm stirring big time, and I'm listening to these prophetic words that you have, James, because it's just astonishing to me. I just want to say a word about what I believe God is saying, and that there are more believers outside the church than in the church. So I got two things. One is, we've got to get ready for the house church movement. When revival, every single nation of the world where there is tremendous revival, it's not through buildings. It's through the house church movement. China, Iran, Afghanistan, North Korea, they don't have buildings. Can I just add this? The way we do church today is not biblical. It's not unbiblical, but it's not biblical. In the early centuries, there were no big buildings at all. I think that's what God's saying. We've got to get ready for the house church. We've got to help oversee the house church. They can't be isolated out there.
You know, there's so many things that everyone wants to jump in and share. You know, I want you to share one with another before you leave. I want you to get on an email and send the word out to somebody that you're walking with. I want you to speak it in your congregation. See, there's a momentum that could start here. Words ignite things. We've heard a word that can ignite what's been pent up in our hearts for a long time, what God's wanted to do in the city. Would you extend your hands toward James? Coming out of the juniper tree with a sword. He's not staying in sickness and health of his body or his humanity. It's still being empowered daily by the Holy Spirit. We just say yes and amen to a total and absolute healing and restoration that he can minister in this city, in the smallest house church, in the largest building, wherever you want to send him, throughout Middle Tennessee and throughout the surrounding states. He's got such opportunity, but Lord, I believe he is so obedient to come here to this small meeting today in pain to say, I'm re-enlisting to be used any way that you want to use me, God. I'm saying yes. I'm believing that my day is not finished. My word is not finished. And what you put me in this city for is not finished. And so we proclaim in Jesus' name and declare it is so. It is so, James. And we're not going to give up an inch.
James, a year ago, God gave me this word for you. You've been with us at our church. We've eaten with you, and I couldn't release it. And on the way down here, I said, God, please, you know, he said, give James this word. I said, it's so odd. But he said, you know, it doesn't matter if who thinks it's odd. It came back up in me, and he said, tell James I'm giving him kingdom treasures. And I got a word out of Job 6:6, and it was the word egg. He said, tell him I'm giving him an egg. Okay, you have to know Hebrew to understand this. And it's only one time in the Old Testament, this word egg. You won't find it anywhere else. It's kalamuth. This is a very... Can you just say that word, kalamuth? Okay, in Hebrew, you have to... There are treasures hidden in words. And in the middle of kalamuth, an egg, is the word chalom, which means a dream. Okay, so a dream from the Hebraic. If you were with Hebraic people, they would say it means disparate elements. And you can say, what does that mean? Disparate, D-I-S-P-A-R-A-T-E, elements. It means that an egg is a picture of three things that do you cannot they don't fit together. You cannot compare them. And so Hebraically it means you can't compare them. It's three parts, but they have to come together as a functioning whole. You have to have the three parts. Okay, the word dream in Hebrew, chalom, means to recover. It means to get the substance that you were talking about, the solution. That's all hidden in an egg, Hebraically. But that's the word dream. The dream is hidden in the egg. It's a picture of, do you understand this, of what an egg is? So the three, okay, so you're saying all this about dreams today, and this is what the Lord told me. He said, your anointing is you are famous. You've affected the globe, but even through your e-courses and whatever, even when you were teaching on dreams, God said, "What's going to be released?" Sometimes they don't understand all the things going on. They say, "Well, this doesn't go together," but God's saying, "No, it does go together." He's going to give the revelation knowledge for them to get the solution. And that's, if you look up the word dream, it means to recover. So you have this anointing that you're getting ready to release now, that it's for now. You even though you teach on dreams, but there's certain people that you're going to affect. It's like God told me, he said, tell James you're giving him an egg. And he said, my children, if you ask for an egg, I'm not going to give you a stone. Do you understand this? Okay, so he's saying you're getting ready to release this to the nations. You're going to give the solution, and your picture is the egg.
That's fascinating.
Okay.
He sounded like Bob Jones.
So anyway, I feel the anointing all over me right now. Do you? And your power egg. You're not going to get a stone.
You won't get it.
It's going to be practical. Chalamuth is the word egg in Hebrew, and it's only found in Job and Luke.
Yeah.
If you ask
for an egg,
you're not getting a stone.
You won't get a stone, and if you ask for
bread, you won't get a serpent.
You won't get a serpent. And there's three things, though, there. Isn't there?
No, I don't know. I don't think so.
Is there only two?
But see, the Father, Son, and Spirit are a picture of the egg.
But I've been having triad dreams.
Okay, and that's what this word is. Tell James I'm giving him an egg. But he said, if you receive this word, he said, you're going to release millions of eggs to the world for the solution. So it's in another realm. Okay.
Because you can't just receive a word. You have to receive the messenger.
Yes.
So I received the messenger. And then I receive the word. So I receive the messenger. And so I can receive the incubation of the egg of the word. In Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah.
Well, that's really good.
So good.
So we got a little sidetracked. We have one more thing. This brother needs to impart what he felt and saw, because it's timely to go in agreement with your word, and here is a manifestation of it right here.
Yeah, my hand was shaking. That's impartation. The Holy Spirit reminded me of that, so I was like, oh, okay. And then I think it was 5, 6, 7 years ago, I sat in your house with Aaron, and I started a church. I was really wanting to leave. I was doing commercial finance full-time, and I wanted to go full-time ministry. And he said, no, that's not what you're going to do. And I left pretty upset. But it turns out he was right. He's been right about a lot of things. But so I just think that even that connection there is really interesting with what's here. So if that's you, I think there's impartation here. So if you want to hold out your hands as though you're going to receive. Hey, Lord, we just thank you. We thank you that your gifts are so, so extravagant. Lord, we thank you that we cannot outthink or outdream you. I just break small thinking in Jesus' name. I break the pattern of the old thinking in Jesus' name.
That's
Just release creativity in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, creativity. Lord, that your ways are actually higher than our ways, and your thoughts really are higher than our thoughts. And so we just receive that in Jesus' name. We just receive the impartation for the Holy Spirit entrepreneur, for creative wealth, for witty ideas, for more capacity and more ability. For those that are busy will be busier, but they will still find rest. And those that are not, the Lord says it's time to go. It's time to run. You don't know your capacity yet. The Lord is extending your capacity. There is supernatural capacity that he will give to you as you begin to walk in that. And people will often say, how do you do it all? And the answer is, Jesus. So we just release that now in Jesus' name, that ability to create wealth and the ability to steward the wealth that's created that won't be wasted on the things of the world. In Jesus' name.
Amen. That's so good. Mark's going to close us here, but I want to say, let's honor James to be able to get out and back down to his car, you know, and get back. It's amazing when you're under the anointing, you don't feel much pain. Yeah. But we're believing him to be fully and completely restored.
Yes.
And so
yes.
I want to thank you all for coming, and let's honor James and let him go ahead and get out the door soon. Come on. Boy, today was a powerful, powerful word, wasn't it? We just honor. We're so thankful for James. We're thankful for his heart. One of the things that Pastor Grant Pemberton and I, when the Lord brought us together to become one as Unite, two lead pastors leading together, we met with Jerry, we met with James, and they had a lot of wisdom. They reached out to us and poured into us and began to prophesy over us, began to walk alongside us, as well as give us downloads from the Lord as to how to move forward, how to build effectively in a way that honors the Lord and his kingdom. And so we just honor these guys and in James's heart. Father God, Lord, we thank you for today. God, we thank you for the way that you used James this morning. We thank you, God, that you have given James clear eyes to see. He's got eyes that are clear. And Lord, even as he has brought in new treasures today, as well as treasures of old, I thank you, God, that as he deposited into every one of us, that our eyes are more clear to see what it is that you're doing, what you're establishing, and Father, how we can do something about it. And so, Father, give us eyes to see from your perspective and give us your heart to do what you want to do in Nashville and beyond for this time and season and for your purposes. In Jesus' name, amen.